This is All Saints Sunday. Our first lesson is from the book of Revelation, chapter 7, beginning at the 9th verse. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they, and where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from 1 John, chapter 3, the first three verses. "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been known. But we will know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure." This is the word of the Lord, the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And they lived happily ever after. Well, that's the familiar closing line of many fairy tales that we heard and read as a child. And I'm sure that we read to our children and grandchildren. It's a line that we many times wish could come true for us, but that we think, at least in this life, it's probably not something that can be achieved. Many of us, or some of us, I should say, even maybe have a more cynical view of that, in which we say, happily never after. Now, why? Why would people think that? Well, because this life is not perfect, right? We are sinners after all. But to us Christians who know that there is a place of happiness where we will be happy in that ever after, that's a place that we call heaven. Well, today in the calendar year for this church, or for the church, this is what we call the Feast of All Saints Day. It's a day that we remember those who have gone on before us to that place of bliss, to that place of happiness, to that place where they exist with God Himself, that place that we call heaven. Now, you know, when I used to think about saints, I used to picture them maybe as, you know, people that were like pious looking, maybe had long robes on. They were, sort of angel-like people. They were in heaven. They were worshiping God. And when they weren't worshiping God, they were walking around on clouds. You know? That's kind of like the picture I had. I don't know if you had that. Kind of like what we read in our first lesson today from Revelation chapter 7. It says, "A great multitude that no one could count from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne, before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes, and they were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" Now, I don't know if you've ever thought of saints like that, but we know for sure that there are saints in heaven, yes. But they are not the only saints that are around today. Why, we have saints right here, right now. Because the word saint is just another word for believer or follower of Jesus. All of us who gather here, as we do today, who profess that Jesus is our Savior, and who confess our sins and ask for forgiveness, we are saints too. Now, maybe it's just me, but I have a hard time sometimes thinking of myself as a saint. You know? Because from Scripture, I know that I'm a sinner. And from Scripture, we all know that we're sinners. Why? It was just last week when we read from Paul's letter to the Romans in chapter 3. It says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." However, saints are Christians whose sins have been forgiven, and therefore we have been justified through faith in Jesus Christ. There's saints in heaven, and there's saints on earth. The difference is the saints in heaven have begun living that happily ever after part. Now, if you've ever been on the internet, and if you ever chose to try to find a picture or a rendering of heaven, they're hard to find to be, you know, to be any kind of accurate about what heaven might look like. Obviously, no one except Jesus has been to heaven and seen it all and then has come back to the earth to describe it. And Jesus intentionally spoke in parables when he spoke about the kingdom of heaven. And so we read about it. And it's variously described as maybe having streets of gold, or, you know, having streams of living water flowing down it, or, you know, there's no darkness, God's on his throne, Jesus at his right side, angels all around singing, maybe playing instruments, kind of like what we depicted up here. But as a matter of fact, you know, in our first lesson today, also from Revelation chapter 7, we catch a glimpse, just a little tiny sliver of what heaven might be like because God gave the Apostle John this vision of heaven. It says, "And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eye." Sounds like a wonderful place to me. Not a lot of description of how it looks, though. There are many visions about heaven in Scripture, and especially in Revelation. But there's a shortage of the description of what heaven looks like, which all of us would like to know, wouldn't we? I mean, because that's our goal, right, to go to heaven. Well, Jesus gave us some insight about heaven, too, and not what heaven will look like. But he gave us some insight about who we will see there. What kind of people, what are the attributes of people that will be in heaven with us, including us? Remember how many times Jesus would talk about the kingdom of heaven and then relate that in his parables to teach us how to live and to teach us how to think in this life. How to live according to his will. And in our gospel lesson, here's one of those ways that Jesus taught us about the people that will be in heaven, about what we will be when we get to heaven, when we achieve that ever after. Frankly, there'll be bliss. We'll be blessed. We'll be happy. Our gospel scripture comes from Matthew chapter 5, and it's the beginning of what we call Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, which is the beginning of his ministry. And in the beginning of the beginning, we have these, well, I guess what you could call poetic phrases that Jesus uttered when he first began. We call these teachings the Beatitudes, the Beatitudes. And he used a softer approach than probably many of the prophets would have used in his days. The other prophets would have probably beat people over the head as to what they're doing wrong. But no, Jesus started off a little bit softer because he wanted to contrast his teaching with that of the Jewish authorities, what they were teaching and how they were living their lives. You see, the Jews taught that if you were doing well in the world, in that society there, well, God must be favoring you, and therefore you must be on the right track. But Jesus wanted to differentiate himself from the quality of people that he knew his followers could and would be by receiving faith in him, by asking for forgiveness of their sins, by recognizing they were sinners. In other words, the people that would inhabit eternal life, heaven. Now, when I think about the Beatitudes, I like to think of them as maybe another parable of Jesus. You know, that maybe he would start off and say, the kingdom of heaven is like the blessed people that are poor in spirit, or you know, whatever, whichever one. And pretty much that's what he said was contrary to the way the Jewish leaders taught the people in his day. Jesus taught these eight states of blessedness, I guess you could call it, these attributes of the people that would be the inheritors of eternal life. But we shouldn't be too concerned or too down and depressed about us not reaching the maximum level of attainment of these attributes. Because I believe that Jesus knows what's in our hearts. Jesus knows whether or not we're trying to live up to those ways that he's pointing out as being present in our heavenly saints, even right now. Notice the rewards that come for people who do have these attributes, these qualities. And they're similar to each other. I mean, to receive the kingdom of God, to be comforted, to inherit the earth, to be filled, to receive mercy, to see God and to be called children of God. All of these rewards have to do with righteousness, with being righteous, and we will receive those when we get to heaven in full measure. But they're also available to us too in this life. Now, the translation that we use in our lesson today starts off with saying, blessed are. But you can also read it as happy are those, as in happy are those who are poor in spirit, and so forth. So I want to take a few minutes here, and I want to talk about the Beatitudes. I know this is not an easy subject to talk about sometimes, because it can be a little confusing. And I want you to know that I'm just going to summarize these Beatitudes. I'm just going to skim the surface. Because we could spend the entire time on just one. But I encourage you, if you have an interest in delving further into this and what Jesus meant by this, I encourage you to go into Scripture, to learn more about it, to read Christian writings about these Beatitudes, to talk with people that have studied this. Because these are important qualities. These are qualities that God wants all of us to have. And we will have those when we get to heaven. So let's take a look at them now. The first one is, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, poor in spirit here doesn't have to do with worldly goods. You know, whether you're rich or poor by worldly standards makes no difference. Poor in spirit here means that you are poor before God. And if we're poor before God, that means that we're humble in our spirit. We're humble before God. We recognize that He is God and that we are His children and that we are sinners and that we need to be forgiven and that we really don't deserve anything from Him. But we also recognize that we are repentant of our sins. That means turning toward Him away from our sinful pursuits, and that we ask Him to forgive us. Okay? Jesus told a parable that was similar to this later on in His ministry. There's one that was recorded in Luke chapter 18, and I want to read that to you. Jesus said, two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. The message here is that those who truly humble themselves and express their need for God, like the tax collector did, will receive the bliss of heaven. The second beatitude is, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Mourning here is not just, you know, mourning because you're suffering. Although there was a lot of suffering in Jesus' time, and there's a lot of suffering today. More importantly, mourning here includes mourning for the sin that we do that causes problems and causes some of this suffering. As people mourn over the sadness that we experience in this life, we also mourn over the underlying sin and recognize that we need a Savior. And we can be comforted in knowing that Savior gives us hope, hope for the future that we will have with Him. The third beatitude is, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Now, when we look at meekness here, it means having a spirit of gentleness, having a spirit of self-control. Where have we heard those words before? Right, with Paul's letter to the Galatians in chapter 5, where Paul says that the fruit of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, this is in contrast with what the Jewish leaders were teaching and living as an example, because they were the ones who had to get in the last word as the authoritative word. They were the ones who had to get revenge on their enemies. They were the ones who had to always be right. They weren't meek by any stretch of the imagination. But if we, as Christians, walk with the Spirit of God, and if we allow ourselves to be controlled by the Spirit of God, we take on the attitude and the attribute of meekness. And therefore, we will inherit the earth, the new earth. Number four, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Now, the translation here is more than just a desire to have righteousness or have something. Okay? It is for people who have a passion for righteousness. As a matter of fact, they walk so closely with the Holy Spirit that when they become sensitive to unrighteousness. They become sensitive to injustice. And they work with this passion to be or to have righteousness cover all the situations that they come across. And they will be filled with righteousness. Number five, the fifth one. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. This quality exists in people who recognize that they received mercy from God, that they are sinners, that they need and ask God for their sins to be forgiven, and therefore they receive mercy from God. And when you receive mercy from God, you can then give mercy to other people. Now, there are two types of mercy that we're talking about here. The first mercy is forgiving other people who do something against us, who sin against us. Now, certainly Jesus preached that, didn't he? He even gave us a prayer that we say every Sunday. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. The other type of mercy that we're talking about here and that Jesus also preached on was to show love to our neighbors, to love our neighbors as ourselves. An example would be recognizing all the people that were impacted by Hurricane Michael. And seeing the suffering and seeing the needs that the people have, and then going about doing something to try to alleviate those needs, to alleviate that suffering, to give the people what they need, to being the hands and the feet of Jesus in this world. The more we confess our own sins, and the more we receive God's forgiveness for those sins, the more thanksgiving we have because of that forgiveness, and therefore, the more we can forgive and the more we can have compassion for other people You see how it works? Number six, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. The purity of our hearts determines what kind of decisions we make in our lives. When we receive faith to believe in Jesus as our Savior, we become new people, right? But we also receive a new heart. And that new heart is a pure heart. That is a heart that makes decisions not based on any kind of sin whatsoever, but only on the will of God. When we make those decisions, because our heart is pure and away from any kind of sin, it pleases God. And we will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers. Number seven. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Boy, do we need those peacemakers today. Man, with looking at the news and all that. Peacemakers understand what true peace is. And they go about trying to establish peace between people, maybe between countries, between, you know, people that are having war. Okay? But beyond that, they also are trying to establish peace between all people and God. And the way they go about that is by promoting the kingdom of God, and by promoting the spreading of the gospel of peace, the gospel of reconciliation that we find through Jesus Christ. Finally, the eighth beatitude is, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This is for the people who receive some kind of persecution, pushback, opposition, whatever it may be. Living for Christ in this world, living with all of the attributes that we've gone over in the Beatitudes, is the way that God wants for us to go. But when we do that, it will be offensive to some people. And there will be pushback of some kind. We may be opposed, we may be rejected, and heaven forbid that we may be actually persecuted for our belief in Jesus, for our faith, for our spreading the gospel. If you do receive that kind of opposition, if you do receive that kind of rejection, know that you are blessed, because you will receive your reward in the eternal life and all of that that entails. As I said in the beginning, we really don't have a whole lot of information about what we're going to see in heaven. But we know that God loves us. We know that God will be there with us. And if the triune God is there living with us, how spectacularly wonderful will that be? I mean, it's something that we can't even imagine how good it's going to be. And so we honor and we recognize those saints who have gone on before us, who now embody the qualities of the Beatitudes, the qualities that we've gone over this morning. Now they, fully acquiring those qualities, embodied the Beatitudes, and they, what are they doing? They are waiting for us to join them. How wonderful a time is that going to be, regardless of the fact that we don't know what it looks like. We know that we will live happily ever after. Amen? Amen.